It's such a blessing, and to be home. You know, I'm so happy that we are here worship with you. And worship was awesome this morning, and the worship team has done a good and a powerful job. So we just want to say thank you to Pastor Todd and Pastor Jan for having us, and give us the opportunity to continue sharing with you what God is doing in Haiti. You know, God is doing powerful things and good things in Haiti. And my name is Mark. It seems that there are lots of you that don't know who we are, but we are from this house. And when we came, we were not married. I came as a single man, and Lisa came as a single woman. And we got married. We have 6 wonderful children. And I do have a picture of them. And I have some of them are in the... Yeah, he's right there. And they are growing too fast. You know, I try to tie their big toe so they don't grow, but so they can stay down there. But they are not listening to us. And God is continue to use them. And actually, Lisa mentioned the birthing center. One of them actually going to school for midwifery. And her heart's desire is to take that on, you know. So continue to pray that for them, that God will have, continue to have a hold of their heart, give them vision, not only for Haiti, but for the world, for the gospel, and for the church. We're really blessed, really happy to be with you today. You know, and so we're going to share a few words with you. And I pray that God will open our heart and challenge us through his word. And I'm going to share in the book of Daniel, especially chapter 3. There is a king called King Nebuchadnezzar. So he actually king of Babylon. And then one day, King Nebuchadnezzar invade Judah and capture the king of Judah. And then he orders some of his officials to take some of the king family with them, and also to take some of the young people. He said, those that are noble. And I want to let you know, the enemy always after God's people. Always after us. He always wants to take the seed that God has planted in us to change things around. And he specifically mentioned, take the young people, those that are noble, strong, smart, and good looking. Seriously, if you go back and read that. And then they did. And among them were the 3 men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in chapter 3, you know, this king has a series of things that happened to him, dreams. Actually, God wanted to use him. I believe God used him. But he was so proud. He became an instrument into the enemy's hand. So he had dreams and called his official magician to come and tell me what my dream was, because he forgot the dream and none of them. By the way, I have some Haitian here I have seen, and I want to say something else again. I love Eastside City Church. You know why? I see lots of color. It's a church for all nations. And in chapter 3, the guy, King Nebuchadnezzar, made a golden image and placed that image in a certain place and called his official all over the country to come for the dedication of the gold image. And then he said, the herald go ahead of them and said to them, listen, once you hear and heard the music, good music, that's why we have to be careful. Because sometimes the devil wants to present you some good thing. Once you hear the music, you have to bow and worship. If you don't worship, this is what's going to happen to you. You will be thrown in the furnace, the fiery furnace. The devil always have the same trick because he's not that smart. Always the same tactics. And that's what you and I need to understand. Always come to accuse us. He's the accuser. And then a sudden, in verse, I think 8, it says, therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews, accused the church, because we are the Jews spiritually. Amen. They spoke and said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn or the beautiful music, they should worship, they should bow. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, a certain Jew whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar went to a rage. Because when the enemy is not happy, when we don't listen to him, he's not happy. The devil is not happy when the word of God is working in our lives. He went into a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought this man before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the music and you fall down and worship, good. But if not, if you do not worship, You shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Well, you have to understand, this is the king talking. If you go to chapter 1 and 2, actually, he is called the King of Kings. Not big K, but King, the small one. Yeah, the small one, Kings of Kings. So he is powerful. At the time, he was the most powerful king in the world. So, for this man to stand in front of the king, it's not a joke. I believe God is expecting us to do the same. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You have no accountability to the devil. We have no responsibility toward him. O king, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Listen, if we had enough time to look at or have a study about the image, that's why I said the devil is not that smart. Have the same tactics. They want to set up image for us to worship. Sometimes it's not physical. It seems here it was physical. But nowadays, it's almost you can't see it. But it's an idea. It's a doctrine. It is something that the devil wants the church to bow. I would like to give you a little example. Have you ever experienced in your life the church shut down? Have you ever been in a time in your life where we are created to worship, to sing and praise, and the enemy will come up with some things that you cannot worship? Those are things you and I, as God's people, as God's servant, we need to pay attention. So every one of us, at certain point, we will reach a crossroad of faith when we have to take a stand. And oftentimes, at the risk of great personal loss. For these three men, it's like they were ready to be cooked, to die, to be roasted. What is it going to be for us? Because it's going to come one day, you will have to make a choice. It's just like Joshua. Choose whom you will serve today. but me and my house. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced such a moment. They were given one simple choice, bow or die. There would be no bargaining, no compromise, no meeting halfway. Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bow to his idol or be reduced to ashes, yet they chose the furnace. There are our brothers and sisters that are dying in the world today. They are choosing the furnace. They are choosing to be beheaded. They are not willing to forsake their God. You know, the Bible, Jesus actually, it's Jesus said, whoever wants to save their lives will lose it. And whoever wants to lose it will gain it for my sake. Isn't that what we have to do today? This is the stand you and I have to make today. How could they resist such peer pressure and deadly threats? It wasn't just one light thing. It has to do with life. It has to do with faith. It has to do with God. Hallelujah. Listen, you have to preach with me. I know I have some Haitian here too. You can say amen. Well, their speech gives us several clues that we can go by, we can check on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. One, our God is able. Our God is able. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't know what situation you find yourself into. I want to tell you today that your God, our God, is able." They believe in the omnipotence of God. They knew that nothing was too hard for him to do. They believe in the unlimited power of God. This is the same God we serve. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God never changed. He remained the same all the time. My God is able. God is all-powerful. God has supreme power and has no limitation. He could do anything. They recognize that. And because they know it, they are able to stand and say to the king, "We will not worship your God, nor bow down and to worship your gold image." Because you remember that he said, who is going to deliver you from my, who's God? Who's going to deliver you from my hand? But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they knew that their God is able. So this is what God is. They believe in this. He's all powerful. And secondly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king, "O king, we have no need to answer you. He will deliver us." They're sure. Their faith were not wavering. They know who they are serving. Amen? They know this is the God who have made the heaven and the earth. This is the God I have created in his image. This is the God who's called me. Listen, the devil want to destroy everything that God's giving you. He wants to steal your vision. He wants to steal your calling. He wants to steal your passion. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to take away your children. He wants to destroy your marriage, your relationship. Don't bow. Hallelujah. They believe in the love of God, that he will deliver us, they told him. So they believe in the love of God that acts on behalf of his beloved children, on behalf of his people. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible to exaggerate God's love for you. It is impossible to exaggerate God's love for us. The Bible said his love is so deep, so wide, so high. It's impossible to comprehend the love of God, how he loves us. And we cannot exaggerate that. Amen. His love for us is so, like I mentioned, so deep, so high, so wide. His love is incomparable. His love is infinite. From all eternity, God has been and always will be pure, unrestrained, relentless, infinite, faultless, beautiful love. Beautiful love. This is the God I serve. And this is the God you serve. This is the God we serve. He loves us. No matter what you're going through, you are not alone in it. He will deliver you. We were designed to desire love as great as this. And because of Jesus, we can all experience the love that we were created for, a love that can only be found in a relationship with God. To experience that kind of love, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. You have to submit your life to him to experience it. So they believe that God will deliver them either from the fire or even resurrect them from the dead. Just like Abraham believed God would bring Isaac back to life when he was told to sacrifice him. God will provide. God always make a way. Amen. This is the kind of God we are serving. And thirdly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "We have no need to answer you in this matter. But if not," this is very important. But if not, what does that mean? If God don't take us out of the furnace, we actually die. Even if God don't take us out, don't deliver us, we will not worship. We will not bow. You know, today you and I don't like to suffer. We don't like going through hard and difficult time. At any second, we find ourselves in a situation that is not pleasing to us, we start blaming God. Isn't that what we do? Oh, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't know why I lost my close relationship. I lost my kid, my husband, or my wife, or my children. Oh, I lost everything that I have possessed, my home. Why would God do such a thing? Here, this is a good example for you and I that the Bible giving us. Your God is able. My God is able. Our God is able. He will deliver us. Listen, if not, even if I lost everything, I will not. Yes, you can give God a clap. Eh? So they believe in the sovereignty of God. That's where we need to be. We need to believe that God is sovereign. That he acts on the basis of his own pleasure and will. We cannot manipulate him. Amen? We can't tell him what to do. Only one thing we need to do. Know who we are serving. Hallelujah. Know where we stand. Hallelujah. God is in control over everything of our lives. Whether we believe it or not. And he's in control. Just throw yourself into his hand. He's a good daddy. Just submit. Trust him. Believe him. No matter what. They believe in God's will, that he has the best in mind. They believe for his glory and his good plan for our lives. Sometimes God allows circumstances in our lives to create what may look like chaos. But it is making an opportunity for his mercy to land and his glory to be shown. Amen? Just like in our own, you know, I have so many testimonies I can share with you. Doing ministry in Haiti is not easy. And you've seen some videos. It's not only this, but sometimes physically. Because I remember after we purchased the land, I think we've shared this with you. After we have purchased the land for the children village, the devils just stood up and said, you're not going to build anything in there. You're not going to fence it. They attacked us physically, throwing rocks, battle. You know, I'm going like this, destroying rocks. I'm like dancing. Going. Seriously. The devil went to scare me. Because he knows the calling that God has for the children village. Because the devil knows that the children village, that the children that are going to come in there, be raised in there, they're going to learn the word of God. Hallelujah. They're going to be transformed. Maybe one day they might be the one to change Haiti. They become mayor. So from the beginning, he tried to take it out. But my wife and I, my children, my leaders, we stand together. We said, no! So today we have children in there. Listen, the people that attacked us, today they are in our church. The people in the community that used to fight with us, today they're protecting us. When I go to Haiti, they're telling me, listen, Pastor, don't go far. Stay here. It's not that safe, Pastor. You know, that's why when I am here worshiping anywhere, I don't like to worship God in half measure. I like to just give myself, listen, and just worship. I don't care about who be sitting beside me. I just praise Jesus because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the great God. Hallelujah. I just praise him. You know, listen. We are taking Gangwaf. We are not going to give it up to the devil. Each time the gang said, I am coming, we said, no, you can't come here. We pray because the church is there. Amen. You can do the same in Calgary. Claim Calgary for Jesus. Hey, go out. Get the white people to come to church. Preach the gospel. Amen. Don't be afraid when you are in the street, the name of Jesus. When you're in school, don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus. When you are at the restaurant, sometimes they don't even need to know you are saying the name of Jesus. Can I say that again? Sometimes they don't even need to know that you are. There is something about the name of Jesus. And that's why when we were in Grand Guavim, walking in the street, they thought, everyone think I'm just walking. No, I am Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Well, oh, almost done. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, our God is able, he will deliver us, but if not, I will stand. And fourthly, they said, our God, whom we serve. They not only believed certain things, they acted on them. Can I say that again? They acted on them and had done so all of their lives. It was a practice for them, a discipline for them, for their lives. We too, as believers, we must be able to stand under pressure, not buckle up or bend our knees. We must have courage that fueled by our faith in our God, who is all-powerful and sovereign, and who we know does everything out of love for his people. This is the God we've chosen to serve. I'm going to finish, but let me show you what happened when we stand and not give up. Let me show you. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose. I see four men loose. Not three, but four. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Whoa! You are not going to be alone. God has to test us. There is a fourth man in your circumstances, in your sickness, in your problems. There is a fourth. He's watching. He's walking with you. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst. Where was the fourth man? I'm sure he stood right there. Do you see? You have said, "Who will deliver you from my hand? Who's God?" There it is. Right? Meshach and Shadrach, servant of the Most High God, came out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw this man whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of the head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Praise Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word." This is very important. Sometimes we're afraid to frustrate the king's word. We sometimes, like sheep, we just follow and do what the enemy asks us to do. Here, we need to stand in the word of God. On the word of God, we need to believe and say, no, get out of here in Jesus' name. And yield, not yield, yield their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nations, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And the houses shall be made an ash of heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You want to be promoted? Don't bow. You want to be promoted? Don't worship. They are setting up lots of idols. Take back your children. Take back your house. Take back your school. Take back your city. And take back your country. I don't know what you're going through. Take back your finances. Take back your health. Take back with God. Your God is able. He will deliver you. Don't be afraid. Well, I don't know if you've been like going like to back and forth. You don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're going through. But I want to encourage each one of you here. If you need prayer, if you need a boost of faith again, if you had doubt about your God, I want to ask you, the worship team, prayer team, come forward. Come, we will pray for you. Declare blessing over your life. Healing for you. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. We can stand. Let's stand. Raise your hand. Close your eyes. Come forward. Take some time between you and God. God can deliver you. He is able. Your God is able. He is able. My God is able.